treated myself today to something I don't get myself very often.
A coffee?
No, I have that all the time.
I know. A Rittersport? I don't know.
No, it's not. It's not cheap here. Rittersport prices in Germany have put me off ever paying the Irish Rittersport prices. Absolutely not. But I got myself a newspaper, a printed newspaper.
Ooh, look at you. Fancy, yeah. fancy.
Financial Times, their orangey pink paper. And who should greet me on the front cover? But a one Tactical Mertz.
Oh, wow. You bought it on the perfect day.
Yeah, right? Look at my boy.
Wow, Tank Commander Mertz. Wow. Is that what he's doing with that like 19% approval rating right now?
he's hanging out in looking. I'd be embarrassed if that was who killed me.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, I'd be dead already, but, you know, in the afterlife, I would also I would commit seppuku on myself as well.
Yeah, so that's off the... Hey, welcome to your weekly Corner Spady. It's me, Kieran, and I'm joined by Nick.
Hey, yo, it's your favorite... I don't know. I got nothing. I got nothing today. Very hot here.
Oh yeah, it's warm here too. Let's see what temperature it is for Kieran. It's going to be something embarrassingly low.
13 degrees,
probably. My laptop needs location access to tell me the weather. No laptop. I shan't be doing that. So it's a nice sunny day. It's May 1st as we're recording, so we can talk about some labor activities happening across the continent, because I find that kind of stuff interesting.
It's also first of May as the day that we're recording this. We're working, actually.
We are working. This is illegal. The Ordnungsamt is going to come in and like stop us.
Exactly. Yeah, because we don't sell baked goods
or flowers. Turning like Nick's apartment into a flower stall so you can record the podcast on Sundays at Bank Holidays.
Yeah, exactly. It's 23 degrees in Berlin right now.
That's nice. I think it's probably a good 10 degrees lower here.
Hey, you know, that's nice though.
Yeah. So, my God. The reason Kanzler Merz is on the front cover of the Financial Times is because Trump is angry at him.
And now is like every lib like Friedrich Merz, welcome to the resistance.
I think what happened to the hashtag resistance? Well, actually, I know what happened to the hashtag resistance people is they stormed the White House press event and tried to shoot Donald Trump. That guy, finding out afterwards, that guy like hates pro-Palestinian demonstrators and like Hassan Piker.
Cool. Yeah. Normal.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just the world we're in now. There's some interesting articles about like what's happening to probably what America considered normal people.
They're becoming the worst domestic terrorists.
Oh God. But yeah, there's this back and forth over, I think Merz said it first. I think this is what prompted Trump's response, where he called like the United States and Iran humiliating, was his term. Again, going to this very like procedural critique of like, it's not that what you're doing is bad morally, it's inefficient. And
oh, of course. Yeah, if only Germany could have done the war against Iran, it would have been done better. Right. Yeah,
we would have sent that woman in leopard print, the panzer tank. I don't know. Which then Trump fires back and says like, oh, hey, you know, I'm going to pull out troops from the Germany, which gay?
Yeah, I mean, not getting a, I mean, it's that weird thing, right? That then now it's like NATO support in Germany is like drastically increased. I don't know how stoked people are with having US bases here though still.
Yeah, the way NATO support has gone up across the continent was just in response to the invasion of Ukraine. There is absolutely no reckoning with like the members of NATO and like what that might mean. Like, rightly or wrongly, I think a lot of Germans hold the idea like of the US military bases in Germany and being in NATO as somehow two very separate issues. Even though they're like not.
Yeah. But I think that is a fair take to have, or like a fair criticism to point out.
Also, like, I think this a similar thing would come up if you confronted the average German, rightly or wrongly, if you brought up that like Turkey is the second most important member of NATO, and it's like they'd also probably have things to say about that for, you know,
racist reasons.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people who envision NATO as being this thing that they could do without the United States. It's why that conversation, I think particularly in Ireland, as like the media tries to destroy our neutrality, very handily conflates the European strategic autonomy conversation with let's join NATO conversation. Even though procedurally those are two very different things, but I oppose them for the same reasons. So it is worth, I think, talking about like the latest collection of everyone is getting a bit bolder with their critique of American foreign policy, if not just a smidge. So like another example of this is Israel kidnapped some more people with the global Sumud flotilla. I got the full list of people involved. The second largest passport holders by population is Italy. 23 people on board were Italian citizens, which forces Meloni to make statements against this, which feels like, I don't know if she did for like the last, let's say like the last two times that I remember this happening, because this is
a thing.
But like, I don't think she made statements before. Like the last global Sumud flotilla, I remember the whole like Spain and possibly Italy as well, we're going to send ships, and then the ships just kind of like bowed out almost immediately because they didn't want to confront Israel. I think Meloni has been personally egged on by the whole like Pope v. Trump spat, where like
she has to admit that she's Catholic.
Yeah. I'm forced to take the position of defending the Pope. Go Bears. that is probably like what an Italian person is just like, go, just like checks notes. Bears?
Yeah, the Pope's actually a White Sox fan, but all right. Yeah, maybe he's a Bears fan too. I don't know.
An Italian politician earnestly thinking that he means actual White Sox, and he just like shows up to the meeting with the Pope wearing White Sox, like, ah, you like this? No. Just so confused. So there's that happening. There's this like NATO spat thing that's happening, where basically, I mean, this has been brewing for a while, but Trump and Pete Hegseth have just been like fuming, some more alcoholically than others, that like Europe is not gung ho for
the Crusades. How dare you not want to rebuild build the Holy Fourth Reich?
Yeah, just like Pete Hegseth be like, you know how if all the Jewish people are in the Holy Land, then the rapture can happen, and then there's just like a like a Slovakian Catholic being there, just like, the fuck are you talking about?
I think it really, like, I think one thing that then has hit the European extra hard, this Trump admin, has been not, I mean, foreign policy, sure, I don't think it's I mean, there's been a lot that then's happened. The psychotic religious nature of the U.S., I think that even, I mean, because remember, like, Bush, too, had it where he, like, said that he, like, you know, God spoke to him every day and this and that and that. And that was weird and quirky. And people were like, oh, you know, American evangelicals, what's up with them? And then now that you're having, you know, a man whose politics are, what if I, yeah, what if I mixed Nazism with, you know, yeah, lunatic, you know, stories of like the Book of Revelation, and then them being like, wait, yo, what the fuck's going on here?
There is this thing of like, I think even with the like Bush stuff, I think behind closed doors, the Americans probably, like Cheney era Americans, probably told the Europeans of like, yeah, that's just to rope in the Bible.
Exactly. Like, where then it's like, this is like actually the thing that, like, I do think that then a bit of what is governing foreign policy is their extremism, you know, not, I mean, not even the political extremism, but the just like the religious thing of like, oh, we need to do this so that then Jesus can come back.
I mean, the Pete Hegseth doing the sermons or whatever is,
hey, yo, but also most important member of the administration now, Kid Rock, giving debriefings at the Pentagon is the coolest thing ever. I need to you know what? I need to tap in. I need to become a fucking MAGA loser music guy and become rich, because someone who never should, I mean, first, like the fact that then that just, you can continuously ride the grift like Kid Rock is kind of, I respect it a little bit. Like, you always sucked, and now you're, go on.
I was just going to say, how about we lean into your home stage? What if we started a band called MAGA, called America Grindcore again?
Grind what?
Grindcore. So just like the first like Republican conservative grindcore band.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's some fishy figures in the grind scene of yesteryear. I don't want to know what Seth Putnam's politics are, psychotic and maybe not real, but whatever. But yeah, no. There is something of that is just like, it is like, I don't know who this is even for either. It's such a level of like cornball loser shit. But you know what? Maybe I just don't understand the U.S. well enough. Like, maybe there is some fucking, you know, corn-fed moron in like, you know, fucking Wisconsin that's like, hell yeah, I love seeing Kid Rock at the Pentagon. And I tuned in to the real halftime show, which was the pre-recorded Toilet Paper USA show.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Charlie Kirk. Je suis Charlie Kirk.
Twisted Erica. I've been enjoying the shots of like Erica in her all black outfit.
Another, you know, Arizona, a moron. We got Laura Loomer, idiot. Erica Kirk, queen, idiot. Me.
Another beautiful,
it is, idiot. This is literally the list of like when the Alex Jones thing where it's like scary man, mental retard, you know,
patriot
scary man. That's Erica Kirk, Laura Loomer, me.
Job for a cowboy.
Hold on, they're cool. I like that band a lot, actually.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, so where do we...
Jimmy Eat World as well, Arizona, right?
Oh, yeah. I like them. I'll Google later if I should like them. I think they're okay.
You think I'm still here Googling bands if I can listen to them or not?
I'd be listening to Muzak. I had to Google every band I listen to.
Oh my God. I was watching something the other day where then I had subtitles. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm one of those guys that put subtitles on for everything. And it said in German, Muzak spielen. And I'm like, wait, it actually meant that. Muzak. I loved it. I was like, oh, even it
German for Muzak is Muzak, probably.
Brilliant.
So yeah, like Giorgio Meloni has to like condemn this thing that's happening. The other thing that is making a stir in like the European Union circles is this illegal shipment of Ukrainian grain that Israel let through their like ports and stuff.
Kieran, I'm sorry, my brain can't comprehend that. There's too many of like the Nick like words going off. All right. Ukraine shipped grain Russia shipped Ukrainian grain to Israel. Now, what do I do? All right, so I'm just a humble poster who happens to have the Palestine flag, the Russia flag, the Orthodox cross in my handle. How do I feel about this?
Well, like a lot of people, including those our betters who run society, Vladimir Putin, Ursula von der Leyen, Krista Kallas.
Krista Kallas, you turned her into a pop star.
Crystal Kallas. Kallas.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, also problematic. Still, Kaya Kallas.
Kaya Kallas. Like all these various people, this has been a relationship you've been firmly ignoring for...
ever. Yeah, I know. Israel and Russia's relationship. I mean, I know it exists. Hold on. Sorry. First, merch idea before we go. All right. Too deep. Like, this is going to be for three people. Crystal Kallas and then her in the pose.
For anyone listening at home, Nick did the pose from the Crystal Castles album cover.
Yep, the first one.
Yeah. God.
That's for me and two people.
Kaya Kallas seems like she would be at home at like the indie sleaze era.
I think that then also Crystal Castles might have been something that she liked. She's not that much older than us.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
But also I feel like the indie sleaze era, particularly how I saw it,
they hit Estonia 10 years later.
And they just
got Crystal Castles too.
Two Crystal, two Castles. So anyway, so it seems like because this has happened, the EU is reluctantly acknowledging, like, hey, wait a minute, good friend Israel. What's happening?
What's going on here? I thought you loved Ukraine. I guess
I am.
Israel's allowed
based on no evidence.
Yeah, based on no evidence, I assume that Israel support Ukraine.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's that forever infinite thing that Israel has to have relations with like both the EU and Russia because of Jewish populations from both these countries, who are also very powerful politically in these countries.
Yeah, they also have to have good relations with Ukraine. I think it's like to be honest, the cynic in me is looking at this saying, maybe the EU is looking at this particular incident as a way to, in the smartest political move of all time, wrestle Israel away from Russia. Because I think the other thing that is heightening the contradictions of Israel's relationship with Russia is Iran. Because it's kind of, at this point, it's becoming a little bit like difficult to go along with the idea if you're an Israeli to say like, oh, I love Russia, one of the like major partners of Iran that has allowed Iran to like sustain itself as not an entirely a hermit kingdom, but fairly close to it, like at least outside of Western systems. So yeah, I think that is something that the Israelis are getting hard. It's harder for the Israelis to ignore that little inconvenient fact about their foreign policy. And the cynic in me is saying maybe the EU and the West at large is viewing this as an opportunity to get everyone's favorite nation, Israel, back on side.
This relationship hurts my brain. I'm not a very bright person to begin with, but making my head around this one hurts my head.
Yeah.
It's because it's like exactly as you point out of that it's like Russia. It's not Russia's relationship with Iran is not anything new.
No.
You know, like, salute to the Shahed 136. Russia's been using this for years.
Yeah. And I think also, like,
let it be clear, I only like when the Shahed 136 is used against Israel. All right. Critical support for the Shahed 136 only in this instance.
And the UAE.
And the UAE. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, no, my slavers. Yeah, so that is, I think Russia is also probably sees more value in their relationship with Iran than Israel, but it's hard to know. Like, Israel does a lot of that like cybersecurity stuff that like states absolutely fucking love.
Yeah, but I think like Russia has kind of that stuff.
A domestic industry.
Yeah, they have very much a domestic industry of that type of crap. Probably not as good as the Israelis, just from the Russian track record of being lazy AF when it comes to that type of stuff. And I think it's also then very weird as well, because Russia still, even though people don't want to admit this, is very much like a wild west of the internet still. Like even still today, post, you know, Ukraine war, Russia trying to crack down on the internet, they don't. Really, I mean, they don't in the sense that then how like other countries similar to it, like in Iran,
oh god, yeah,
or
Iran,
or
China,
Israel, or
even Israel, yeah,
yeah, yeah. That was like, it was one of the big reasons why too that like a lot of the, you know, Russian dissidents who rightfully turned away the Tor browser because they knew that it was a U.S. op, turned it down because they're like, we don't need this. There's no reason.
Yeah, that and like, but that's also gone like two ways. I think Russia has also been very happy for like the kind of like crowdsourced piracy and virus making machine that is like Russian internet to kind of like run wild as well. Like, I think there's been a lot of requests made to the Russian government to shut down various like piracy networks by like big rights holders in basically Germany or the US or the UK. And they're just like, yes, we're taking this very seriously and we're looking into it, and they do nothing.
Yeah. I think that they still kind of handle the internet as just like the Wild West. In some degree.
Yeah.
I mean, there is like, that's the thing too, is that then it's like Russia does crack down on things, but it's mostly out of their like paranoia for certain things of like foreign, like signals illegal in Russia, because Russia rightfully points out that Signal is a CIA backed technology.
They also like, I think there is also, isn't there that also that kind of like cronyism aspect of like, we're not going to ban Telegram.
Yeah. Why would you? It's perfect. Yeah. This is the way that it is. Don't ask who developed it. I mean, we know who developed it. Russia. Also, yeah.
But I was more saying like, we really don't like that guy has become like an exile. We would much rather have him personally back and kind of like make him one of the like companies that is very friendly to the Russian government.
Yeah.
It can be private, doesn't have to be state operated, but we really like you to be our, like, get out of the UAE, come back.
Yeah. Where else am I going to find crackpot right wing groups as easily on the internet?
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that's kind of like the foreign policy stuff that I have been looking into. The Mercosur trade agreement is going ahead, I think, is another one of these things. Provisionally applied is, I think, the term that's happened this week, which is, again, the whole, like, I'm conflicted because there's, like,
You hate this as an Irish person.
Okay.
Hear me out.
Hear me fuck out.
I will not let the Argentines control the beef industry.
First of all, yes. I'm not going to eat beef produced by some guy called, like, Pizza Himmler. absolutely not. Forbidden. So there's the confliction of, like, trade agreements and, like, the reducing of rights. I think this, like, agreement has those kind of, like, those court systems that allow, like, you know, companies to sue governments kind of shit.
Love that.
Hate that. I kind of agree with Adam Tooze on the environmental argument against Mercosur is maybe a little, like, paternal and condescending towards Latin America. That Brazil in particular is actually currently quite a good custodian of the Amazon rainforest. And they know what they're doing. And also because they're not afraid of China, they're electrifying their grid faster.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing too that we've seen on particularly the African continent with Europe doing the green stuff of that, then it's just, oh, well, green for us. Not for you.
Yeah. But the other side of it that I'm like, oh, the real reason why I would like Mercosur to come in is anything that upsets European farmers is just okay by me.
Okay. So actually, full circle, Kieran wants the Argentine beef.
I mean, I won't eat it personally, but
but you're happy it's here. You're happy it's here to you know, make the petty bourgeois class, I guess, just the straight bourgeois class of the you know, European peasantry.
Anyway, ignoring that, going to less foreign policy stuff. Hey, it's May 1st, and Al Jazeera did a lovely little report on, like, the state of European workers in certain countries. A good one is Greece. Oh boy, is it bad? Despite all that good, Christian democratic national GDP growth, it does appear that Greek workers, by and large, are the poorest in Europe. Even beating out the various new European countries in the EU, if you work as any kind of full-time employee in Greece, you have less purchasing power than your Polish, Slovakian, French, Spanish, Irish, Swedish equivalents. So thankfully the Greeks just protested like fuck. Good for them. Good for them. Let's see, what other news did I want to kind of actually talk about? Oh yeah. Oh god, sorry, I have one more global news thing that I just wanted to briefly mention before I talk about someone that I've become fascinated with, which is the UAE leaving OPEC.
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't, like, react to that story more. Literally just like a pass through, like, oh, you know, they can do that. Cool. That's not going to be a problem for global oil markets.
So how I interpreted it is it does seem like, based on some of the headlines I was getting from the paper I treated myself to today,
yeah,
that this whole, like, a barrel of oil for a blip on the markets was going for $130.
To the moon, baby. Yeah. We can do it.
It's going to keep going, probably. I think it's sitting at like 110 right now, but like it's going to keep going. And the headlines I'm getting from the newspaper is like, hey, a lot of countries are suddenly taking this climate change thing very seriously. Oh, just heard about this. Seems like fossil fuels are bad. Crazy. So I'm interpreting the UAE's move at the moment. They've threatened to leave OPEC a couple of times and have wrung concessions out of the cartel. But this time they've left for good. I'm interpreting that as, out of all the countries in the region, the UAE has pivoted most successfully to not being as dependent on fossil fuels. They're like a major financial hub in the region. They've got like tourism when Iran's not bombing them, et cetera, et cetera. And that's like, that's not much, but it's leaps and bounds ahead of like Saudi Arabia's attempts to buy enough Gulf that they don't have to be dependent on oil. So I think they just said like, fuck it, now's the time that we just sell oil and gas for super cheap because we're the ones who can like it's a fire sale, like in the sense of like, yeah, we're getting out. And it seems like they see the green transition now at this point as being maybe an inevitability. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how you feel about that, but that's kind of how I'm looking at it.
I didn't have enough time to think about this on a larger level than just like I said, that's happening. I do think, I mean, because there is the like, there is something that then is just like, I mean, we're not the podcast to like do this deep dive into, but it is very funny to me in the sense of that then the, you know, the oil kingdoms of the Middle East, hilariously coming to terms with the fact that their economies are going to crash at some point in the very near future. And yeah, the like we see it, like the most obvious example is like NEOM, you know, in Saudi Arabia, and just like these things of like them scrambling for anything to make value out of nothing because they don't have anything else to export. And it is like still the funniest one to me of all this is just like Saudi Arabia figured out that then in a kind of physical material way, they could just create and make footballers into financial assets. You know, like Cristiano Ronaldo getting paid like €1 billion to go fucking play in Saudi Arabia. So one, that they can probably hide his fucking sex crimes. And, you know, two, that then that they can just like sell jerseys. You know, and like, when is it, cause I like the amount of times I'll be like, oh my God, like I'll, again, the amount of sports shit I've been getting on my fucking, Instagram. Thank you. How much of it is just like, wow, the GOAT. And it's like, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo playing against like, you know, people from like the third league in any other country, you know, and they're like, oh my God, he still has it. It's like, yeah, like he's 46 or not 46. He's like 40 playing against people that then don't like would not make it in any other league in Europe, you know. But then, you know, every like it is very funny that then that too, that then like all the like, you know, the Saudi and the Qataris have just like had the opportunity to just like make their like fantasy football teams, you know, like Qatar owning Paris Saint-Germain, which is in like a way for them to like make money through sports and whatnot. And just an old guy being like, yes, I'd love to see all my favorite players from 20 years ago be on the same team, you know?
Yeah.
And they do it, you know, and they get it and they fucking offer these contracts for whatever, you know, or, you know, they'll offer literal blood money to any of these players, you know, being like, oh, hey, do you want to pay, you want €750 million to come and play in Saudi Arabia? And they're like, yeah, sure, whatever, because these people are dumb. And then you can't, like, that's the thing, too, is that when I fucking see people make the argumentation of like, oh, but, you know, like, they came from this past and this and that, it's like, yeah, but they're already, like, they're already a millionaire, you know? Like, you can easily say no to the Saudi League, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, in the sense of, like, it seems like it's the future.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Like, the future in the worst sense, though. Like, it is truly, oh, yeah. Like, it's so funny that they are the cyberpunk dystopia. In the truest sense, but they're also like not doing anything, which is even just like kind of funnier. Like they want to the only way that they can kind of figure out the world around themselves is then through a resource that then is very, as we've seen through like an example like Venezuela, very easy to sanction, right? Like very, very material commodity, like needs to be extracted, needs to be refined, all this stuff needs to be transported physically from point A to point B. And then they've like also kind of tried to figure out financialization, but in the oddest ways possible, you know, like they've set up then like these massive, like, oh, you know, like the Saudi Royal Fund or whatever for like international investment and whatnot. And it's like,
and they just like buy what already exists.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like you, like somehow, oh, you're going to create the football industry in your country, or like fucking MMA, you know, is huge in UAE because of like sports betting and whatnot. So it's like they don't even do the like basic financial markets. They just do like the more simplistic version of it. It's like, what if I just like gamble? Like,
yeah,
fuck having a stock market. What about gambling?
God, what else? And it's also like buying EA, I think was another one. I think like the UAE did build something successfully. Like the politics of the region outside of Iran and Israel for the last, like, as hard as that's to imagine, for the last 10 years has been like the UAE probably more successfully setting itself up for like a post-oil future. And Saudi Arabia kind of like scrambling to do the same and doing it kind of like thuggishly and clumsily by like, yeah, buying footballers, buying EA, rather than like whatever, like there's a lot of very negative things we can say about the UAE, right?
Nothing. What are you talking about? I know who protects us, Kieran.
I love my rooftop matcha party. But just like, yeah, they built resorts in like, they built a tourism industry at the very least. They paid for a Sex and the City movie in a way that Saudi Arabia could never. That got that one scene in Sex and the City 2 where Carrie has to like name all the Emirates. She's like on a date.
Nope.
In the UAE, and she's like, and he's like, do you even know all the Emirates? And she's like, well, and she just lists them all off, and you're like,
there's like what five, is this movie? Aren't there?
Well, yeah, but you know, I don't think I could name all of them.
Dubai,
Abu Dhabi, three others,
the Three Musketeers.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Bitcoin.
OnlyFans.
Yeah. So yeah, it's an interesting one. I'm looking at that with like a degree of skepticism, or like, not skepticism, I'm looking at it with a keen eye, seeing like, what's happening next? The last 10 minutes I wanted to talk about someone who's been showing up on my feed.
Beautiful. I can't wait.
I'm wondering if she's showing up on your feed as well. How much do you know of a one Sylvia Salas in Italian politics?
Zero. Sylvia Salas just sounds like you made up an Italian version of Kaya Kallas.
Right? It's probably Salis. I don't know. S-A-L-I-S. So... she's an Olympic athlete in like hammer throwing.
Okay.
And
cool.
Yeah. And as of early 2026,
that's an Olympic sport.
Yeah.
Hammer throwing.
Yeah. Like it's a, it's not like an actual like DIY hammer. It's like a different thing, but it's like a strength thing you spin around and you throw it.
Oh, okay. I thought even like an actual I did not know that was called a hammer. All right, cool. Yeah. I learned something every week on the Corner Spatey show, where my smarter friend Kieran tells me a thing that then I don't know about. I'm gonna write my op-ed now. Leave me alone. I learned something. What I learned this week. I'm now an expert.
Yeah.
Where's my six-figure fucking check?
Yeah. Anyway, as of early 2026, she's being hailed by political analysts and the media as the primary anti-Maloney figure. So
okay.
Yeah. I think
I love how Italy finds political figures. I really do. It's truly wonderful how anyone can join Italian politics.
Yeah. So I'm going to share with you an article from our favorite publication, politico.eu, from where I got like my information. But I should stress, I was seeing her on my Instagram feed before I saw her on like politico.eu, mainly because there's like all these videos of her showing up at like...
Why is she doing a DJ set?
Yeah, that... where she like DJs and stuff. Also, I think from a distance you would believe she's Maloney.
No. I don't think so. I wouldn't. Yeah, now I see it. I mean she's like, she's better looking than Maloney. You know, like Maloney, I don't know. Maloney like has like that kind of like sucked look to her, that like evil woman look. Oh God. I mean, yeah. Someone's going to clip that of me saying that then I call all women evil.
No, like Maloney has I've been cast to be in.
Yeah. She's Slytherin, been. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. 100%. Go on though. Now that I see the picture of her with the Italian sash and then the picture of Maloney afterwards, you're right. This is like Maloney casted in like a movie. Like she could play Maloney in a movie.
So she represented Italy in hammer throwing in Beijing and in London.
Salute, queen.
Those two Olympics. Yeah. And she's also been serving as the vice president of CONI, the Italian National Olympic Committee. So, anyway, she started politics in May 2025 when she was elected as mayor of Genoa.
Cool.
Yeah. She ran as a center-left independent. She ended 8 years of, like, Forza Italia rule in the city, basically. She's... calls herself post-ideological
queen,
which
damn, that's some impressive wording. Post-ideology. Wild. Where have I heard this before?
She got social media traction after being filmed dancing at a techno party in Genoa with DJ Charlotte De Witte, possibly Charlotte De Witte, don't know. Seems Dutch, probably isn't. The moment reinforced her image as a fresh and modern alternative to traditional political establishment. Yeah.
Yeah, dance music, something that Italians have never heard of in the past 40 years.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, so she's currently... So the thing I find interesting about this is that I think there is possibly a little too much... there's possibly a little too much weight being put on this, or like a bit too much significance being put on this. I could see this, like, I can see the next time we actually come around to Italian elections, I come along as the person who never forgets things and goes like, hey, what about that woman Salas? And they're like, who are you talking about? this thing you wrote like 50 articles about, where did she go? Yeah, because it just seems very strange of like mayor of Genoa with basically little political experience beforehand. And then now we are claiming that these articles are claiming like she's like the great unifier of like Italian opposition politics. You know, like Partito Democratico love her, the Five Star Movement love her, Azione love her, that weird kind of like Lib Dem.
Yeah.
And it's like, cool. Why do we like her? Like, what's so important about this person to you? Why is this? This just seems like there's very little there, you know? She's, you know, in politics and she's been thrown into the limelight. She's stated some positions, but I'm just like, I don't know if there's like a huge base here that could really rally around her. So I'm just kind of like, yeah. Anyway, it just threw me for a loop because I was just seeing this video of a DJ set in Italy being like, and like a little circle goes around this woman in like, you know, like in a boiler room set. She's not like behind the decks, but she's behind the decks, you know, like she's like just in that little space.
Yeah, she's a guest. Like, yeah, she knows the DJ.
Yeah, and so she's like...
She's doing drugs with the DJ as well, too.
Like, I'm doing my DJ sit and she's like, dude, the mayor's coming.
This is the fucking... Yeah, this is the plot of, like, an Italian 80s movie that the big bad guy is going to come and ruin the rec center. And then the mayor comes to the DJ set. Yeah, they have a DJ battle.
Yeah. The mayor of Berlin trying to skip like the Berg, like get past the Bergheim bands. They're just like, I'm on the list. I'm the mayor.
Let me
in to get down to the funky beats.
Berlin deserves its own Eric Adams, if that's what you're saying.
Oh, I would love a weird party mayor more than I'd love most things more than Kai Wegner, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
Weird party mayor would be far.
The weird party mayor if Berlin ever gets it's going to be a CDU guy.
Oh yeah, parties. Yeah,
yeah. People don't want to admit in the city how conservative the like club scene is.
Didn't they do a poll inside Bergheim once?
Oh yeah. Speaking of Saudi media outlet Vice did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
another thing we can just buy to try and get out of the oil trap.
Yeah, no, they did it, and it was like I think CDU was the largest. Like it was a pretty even like. High, but there was a lot more CDU people in the club than people would want to admit, and I think that people don't want to admit that the club scene isn't actually as progressive as they pretend it is. Here's me being just a meanie, but yeah, I want, you know what, I Kieran, all right, as a voting as someone who's allowed to vote in Italian elections, all right,
yeah,
The DJing Olympian has my vote. Yeah. All right. Don't tell me. I don't want to look at her fucking politics. All right. Oh, that's boring. You know what? She's the mayor's DJing. That's tight.
Yeah.
My little European brain loves that.
The mayor's DJing. The mayor's not DJing. The mayor is near the DJ.
That's the same thing. The mayor is Skrillex.
The wine's flowing, the monsters are scary, the sprites are nice, the night is young.
Yeah, shout out to the like really angry one person out there being like, actually Skrillex is dubstep.
Anyway, I do want to shout out just like, okay, I should say the only thing we have on her politically at the moment, right, is that once she wants to remain an independent candidate.
Mm-hmm. Independente, so, as they would say in Italian.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Maybe. And she's been offered but has refused to take part in the like Partito Democratico like primaries. Probably because that would like at the moment she's being called this like unifying candidate, and I think she's smart enough to know that if I enter any one of these parties, I'm no longer going to be a unifying candidate.
And she fully supports Israel.
Actually, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's still Italy. So like by left, we mean like kind of like Spain. When you're on the left, you are actually like good on these issues.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, because Meloni, that's like the thing that no one talks about enough about than her like vehement pro-Israelism.
Yeah, but like even then she's like being forced by Catholicism to kind of like
defend the
stay
Pope.
The odd. Yeah, say the odd statement kind of thing. So yeah, Italy, she's talked against like the Gaza genocide, and she supported the like those protests that were happening in Italy that were shutting down the ports. So she's like good on that.
I mean, you know, in this day and age, that's asking a lot, right?
Yeah, like, right.
I mean, given I'm not gonna throw my hat in and be like, oh, she sounds super duper cool. I, you know what? All right, here's Nick's grand take on this type of stuff. All right, mm-hmm. We are in, like, not saying that it's okay to lib out. All right. You know, this is a very, very anti-libbing out podcast. All right. We understand that libbing out can be problematic and reactionary and all that other type of stuff. And that voting is not the only form of politics. However, in the like, I think that then something that we do miss a lot of times in the left is like the understanding of where we are in history. You know, like Meloni is a fascist. Okay.
Yeah.
And if there is then this candidate in Italy that then is kind of like, I mean, yeah, sure, I don't care about her fucking experience and this and that, but it seems to be that then at least that she is not Meloni, and that then from like issues that then that have been quite important, at least on like a, you know, societal level, like, you know, civilizational level about being, you know, against genocide, you know, that's better than we're doing here in Germany. You know, like, yeah. It is this thing of, it's like, I understand of like, sure, yes, we want like, as you know, socialists and communists to have the most like radical option and be the most radical. We don't have these options, you know, maybe like Sock Dem Olympian athlete is our best option at the moment in this frame of history, in this, like, you know, wherever we are at the current moment. Cause it is like, everything is getting worse, you know, and it's kind of like the thing of, it's like, you know, it's like, you know, with Hungarians being happy that Orban's out. It's like, do I know as like an annoying Marxist that then that this is going to be bad in the long run for other reasons? Sure. Yes. But in this like blip of that, then it's like the first thing that had to be done to get rid of Orban is to get rid of Orban. You know, and then like other politics hopefully then can come forward from that. It is our responsibility then, as leftists, to then organize in the methods that then that we can, that are, in my opinion, viable and not just a waste of our fucking time. And yeah, like they're like, we're nowhere close to like a revolutionary moment, you know, but it is the sense of, it's like Meloni being the like massive point of Eurofascism in the moment of being the poster child and removing her from that.
Yeah.
Is a big deal, you know, given
a very successful right-wing politics framework for other countries.
Yeah, that has been copy and pasted by everyone. Some more successful than others. But yeah, I think people don't realize, I think, either outside of Europe too, how important she is. She is more important, I think, to the international nationalist movement than Trump is at the current state. Because she does the palatable racism, right-wing, neo-fascism very well.
Yeah,
Trump is out of his fucking mind and invading countries left and right and doing regime changes.
He's far more functional than he is.
Yeah. And you know, sure, there's gonna be stuff that comes out over the, you know, coming time leading up to whatever fucking elections Italy has going on that then'll, you know, obviously make her out to be the center left person that she is. But I don't think that we have the moment right now in time to constantly just poo-poo everything. It's like Mamdani, right? You know, obviously Mamdani, there's better, they're like, I wish that then that New York could be, you know, a Marxist Leninist caliphate or whatever people were saying that it was, you know, maybe affordable housing is at least a step in the right direction.
Yeah. That being said, the mayor is with the DJ, so...
The mayor is with the DJ. The European mind loves this, all right?
I think, so, tenuous connection, but I read an article in Italian, I believe. I was Google translating a bunch of shit.
Ah, Mamma Mia, the mayor with the DJ.
It was on Mamma Mia Weekly. And it was talking about those like two guys who play Italo disco DJ sets on YouTube and TikTok as like the face of European resistance to Trump. And it's like, the mayor's with the DJ.
People don't understand how simplistic the European mind actually is. You think that this is the land of, you know, Dichter and Denker.
No, it is a country.
It is not a country. It is a continent where the dream of everyone is literally just to become a DJ.
The sun is out. I've got some Campari. Put on some funky beats.
Put on some funky beats. We're going to go outside and do the thing that we normally do inside.
Yeah. Or at the very least, in our rent control department, open the windows.
Yeah, all night long. All night long. All night long. Yeah, afters are at my place. Let's get fucking weird.
Afters are at my place. Prees are at my place. The party is at my place. What? The mayor is here.
What are we drinking for prees, Kieran?
We've got everyone in my TikTok feed in the one room tonight. Oh my god. With that has been a main episode of Cornish Beatty. It's been the news. Nick is saluting, rightfully so.
Yeah. Because you're the DJ of the show. Kind of.
I've been your DJ and Nick has been your mayor.
Hell yeah.
I would love to go to a boiler room set and be one of like people dancing about. Or like those ones that did it in like to like in U-Bahn stations or whatever.
Oh,
I'd just be
yeah.
there with like a big sash that says the mayor, and I'd just be like dancing, and I've got like a top hat on or something.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, with your whatever Saudi Israeli money that then Boiler Room fucking has.
Yep. With that, all I have to say is, hey, Eurovision number 6, 16th of May. We are back again in Film Archer. Come on down.
What's the address of Film Archer, by the way? I feel they moved, didn't they?
No, they're still the same place. Oh, so if you were in Eurovision 2024, you've been there before. And if you're looking for the exact address, it's on the poster, which is on our Instagram.
I thought that it moved for some reason.
They were looking to move, but I think they got the place.
Okay,
they
cool. were in. My mom's coming.
Hell yeah. Come down and see Nick's mom. And with that, tickets are on sale. With that, we will see you on the bonus episode. Ciao, ciao.
Bye-bye.